A lot of people talk about their childhood on so many things that went wrong. And I think sometimes people continue to play the victim role, although there are very sad, horrible situations, and you can go either way. I had the most perfect childhood in life, honestly, and parents that anybody could have.
Hey mamas, welcome to the Being Mother Hustler podcast. I'm your host, Mother Hustler, Kareen Mills. I'm a mama of two boys, founder of a tribe called Mother Hustler Nation, co-founder of the Game Changers Global Network, an insurance professional turned lifestyle entrepreneur, keynote speaker, and author. Each and every week, I'm bringing you stories and thoughts from mom entrepreneurs who will inspire you to take massive imperfect action, unapologetically chase your dreams, and eradicate your excuses so you can quit treating your business like a hobby and turn your side hustle into full-time income. I know being Mother Hustler is not easy. But sisters, we are making it happen, even in this beautiful mess. Thank you so much for being present with me today. Now let's go mother the world. Mother Hustlers, what's up? It's your sister and fellow Mother Hustler, Kareen Mills. Ladies, one of the most common questions I receive from all of you is about podcasting. What did you do? How did you do it? How do you record an episode? Where do I get background music and transition music? When do you begin to monetize it? Well, today is your lucky day. I'm revealing my top secret. Are you ready? The answer to every single one of your questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for launching, recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. The best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously user-friendly. I use the Anchor app on my iPhone to record solo episodes when I'm on the go in my car in between kids' sporting events and business appointments. So be sure to download the handy-dandy Anchor app. Or you may go to anchor.fm to get an even larger menu of features or customize your podcast. I use anchor.fm to produce my episodes with guests. Now, eradicate those excuses, take massive imperfect action, and launch your podcast. Susie Lee Morrison has been a top producing real estate broker in the state of Washington for 15 years. She prides herself on developing long-term relationships with her clients. Dedication, integrity, and trust are the three pillars that Susie puts first in her business. Her experience and knowledge in this industry are unmatchable. Her straightforward approach with no fluff is where Susie stands above her competition. She provides accurate information and her honest professional opinion to her clients that allows them to make informed decisions on their real estate investments. Susie has lived in Washington for over 30 years. She knows this market like the back of her hand. She has a true love for this area and the community-oriented people who live here. Susie's pride and joy are her two sons, Grant, 22, and Blake, 19. One just finished, and one is attending Western Washington University. And well, she has her princess, her 10-year-old Dash Hound, Roxy. Susie's longtime love, Lyle, has been in the industry for 31 years and heads up her team's commercial investment division. Together, they're able to help their clients on both sides of the river, the states of Oregon and Washington. They spend their free time traveling and riding their Harley in the sunshine. Susie's right-hand license assistant, Amy Hoffman, is an incredible detail-oriented person that any real estate team
would be proud to have on board. Her energy and knowledge keep the Susie Morrison team running smoothly and proficiently. Susie loves spending time with her girlfriends and sharing inspiration and love with them all. Susie spends a lot of time educating herself in her industry. She feels that knowledge is power for her clients and puts them in prime position to achieve their goals. Lastly, Susie loves real estate sales and the opportunity to work with so many quality people who desire the best experience possible. Give Susie a call for an experience you will thoroughly enjoy. Mother Hustlers, please help me in welcoming the Mother Hustler, mothering the world this week, Susie Lee Morrison. Welcome, everyone. This is Kareen Mills, your podcast host. We are fortunate today because I have my good friend, Susie Morrison. She's a self-proclaimed real estate queen of real estate, realtor queen, whatever you want to call it. And I love that because she owns her space and she's not even shy about it. So, Susie, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming here.
Thank you so much for having me. What an honor. I feel honored.
You are a mother hustler for sure, sister.
I like that term, mother hustler.
And your story is amazing. And we're not going to have enough time to share every detail of it. But I always like to start with your childhood, because I think our childhood has a lot of contribution to who we become as an adult. It is some of the most critical decade of our life is our first decade. It helps us mold into this foundational being of who we become. So take us on that journey and tell us about your childhood.
Well, I am straight out of Compton.
I need the hat.
I know. I am. I was born in Compton, California. And, you know, obviously that was quite a few many years ago. So it sounds really funny and really good now, but I was born in Compton. I was adopted. I was adopted before I was born. Wow. My birth, you know, in the 60s, you know, I'm kind of telling my age, you know, it was shameful to be pregnant and unwed. And so my birth mother, her first experience with sex, got pregnant with me. Yeah. She was with a married man. And so she came from Chicago to California to be pregnant with me and have me and stay with a friend. So I did find all that out later. But yes, I was actually adopted before I was born. So my parents got me no matter how I came out. And I always felt like I was very special because I was picked.
Wow.
So that's how it all started. I was... You know, a lot of people talk about their childhood on so many things that went wrong. And I think sometimes people continue to play the victim role, although there are very sad, horrible situations and you can go either way. I had the most perfect childhood in life, honestly, and parents that anybody could have. I had a very traditional family. My dad worked for ARCO. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad was the type A. I take after him. And my mom was the typical housewife.
Wow. So when you say you feel very special because you were picked, is that something that you want a message to be sent to a lot of adopted children? Because I think sometimes adopted kids feel, like you said, a lot of victim mentality, feel like, they're missing something.
It's quite interesting because I learned a little about it later. You know, some certain characteristics about myself, I wondered where they came from and or why I reacted to things the way I do. And it was brought up actually a few years ago, a book about adopted kids. And although, because I did have an amazing childhood and I was picked, but there is something to be said, and it does affect kids, which it sounds a little woo-woo, but there is an abandonment issue. It's quite interesting. There's an abandonment issue because We are meant to be held by our mother's bosom and heart, and because we were in her womb, you know? And so when that is taken away, sometimes it causes some interesting things in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So that is quite interesting. I've learned a lot about that. And so I totally get that. And, you know, a lot of kids don't have the same experience I did. I mean, I seriously couldn't have been more lucky.
Wow. That's crazy. And, you know, the thing that I like about you is you always look at the bright side and the positive side. And although there's that abandonment issue, I think that, like you said, you know, you could have the worst thing that happened to you during your childhood. You could have had a mediocre childhood or a great childhood, but you always learn something from it. So what is it that you take away from that childhood that you learn and maybe apply to your own parenting style and the way that you raise your children?
Well, you know, things are extremely different now than they were then. I mean, I was born in the early 60s. So, you know, you have that traditional family with the mother stays at home and the dad works 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Totally different because I work and I have a career. And so things have totally changed. But and I have failed many times at the parenting like we all have. But I think that the biggest thing is, you know, I was raised in a Southern Baptist family. We went to church every Sunday. I think the grassroots of family is 100% important. The value of family, the family get-togethers, the events with my family. Not only that, but, you know, my parents were really hard workers.
Mm.
So there is a lot of things that I took from that. And one of them was about the positive side, about looking at the positive side, not looking at the victim side or the bad side. And, you know, we all have a story. We all have our stuff, but, you know, those grassroots kind of get you through it.
Yeah. I think we have, or I should say we hold the power to pick which story we want to believe, because regardless of whether they happened or did not happen, or they're traumatic or not traumatic, we do have that superpower of, like, you know, just blocking the bad. It takes a lot of practice, but you can certainly do it. And it's kind of like when you look through your iPhone photos and you delete the bad ones, you know, you take a selfie or you take a picture with people and you don't quite approve that it's a positive picture, so you delete it.
Right.
It's almost like our brain is synonymous to an iPhone, because our brain needs an upgrade. Our iPhones needs upgrading all of the time. And we tend to put so much importance in our technology, but we don't put so much importance in our brain. So it's interesting how you have been taught early on to really look at the positive side and their work ethics too, because I always say kids don't listen of what you say to them. They really pick up what you show them more often than what you tell them. So having really a model parent or model parents that you had, your adopted parents, if you want to say it that way, was not only that they got to pick you, you in essence got to pick them too, because you, once you found out, and I don't know how old you were when you found out that you were adopted, you also had a choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that choice may not be something strong, but I'm sure it's like you've thought of it, depending on how old you found out about it. So how early was that in your life? Has it always been in the conversation that you...
Yeah, I knew. I probably knew it 3 or 4 years old. I mean, I would go around talking about it when I was in kindergarten. So
wow,
I was really young.
Did you have the goal as a child to search for your biological mom?
Not at all. I mean, I truly had the amazing childhood. The only reason I did look for her, I was pregnant with my first kid. and I wanted medical information. That was it. I didn't want a big Oprah reunion show. this person, and not to sound crass, because honestly, she did the most unselfish thing a human can do. I cannot imagine giving up a child. I can't imagine it. So yeah, I found her. It was very quick. I was very quick to find her. We were nothing alike, nothing alike at all. I talked to her. I talked to her for quite a long time. I wanted every bit of medical information possible in case I needed it. But yeah, nothing alike.
Wow. When you were growing up, what dreams did you have as a child?
Well, I'm sure you probably know this just about my personality now. I always needed to be the center of attention.
Mm-hmm. 120%.
Yeah, I really did. You know, you can see the old eight, and I'm aging myself again, the old 8mm movies. You know, we had the movie camera. I am front and center in every single one, waving at the camera. It's quite the little joke in our family. So, you know, I don't remember what my dreams were when I was younger, real, real young. I was super smart in school. And I always thought I was going to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Wow.
And that's what was going to happen. And I was really athletic too. And I will tell you that trajectory changed. And it's amazing how things can affect kids. You know, my dad got transferred the summer of my fifth grade year. And I was on top of the world. And that completely changed my whole life.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a good experience at all.
Wow. Transferred from where to where?
Southern California to Reno, Nevada.
Wow.
So you have to realize that, so I was like 11, early 70s. I grew up in a all white Caucasian school. We had to wear dresses to school, no pants in, nothing like that.
Wow.
Super popular, super smart, all the Excel classes in sports, and got transferred to a school that there wasn't that many Caucasian people. It was my first experience with ethics or ethnic people.
Wow.
And it didn't go well. They did not like the blonde girl that was very outgoing and outspoken.
Wow. Interesting.
And then a year later, my dad got transferred to the Bay Area. Same situation. I was probably one of three blonde girls in my junior high.
Wow.
And I got beat up.
Wow.
So yeah, I did. I got beat up. And those were not good times. And I felt like I was a poor student in school after that. It just, it rocked me.
So talk about getting beat up, because...
Oh, so
like
you go straight back there. I could just see it right now in the bathroom stall.
Is it like physical beat up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. My mom had to come every recess and lunch and let me go sit in the car.
Wow.
This is in eighth grade. Terrible. Wow. Yeah, it was terrible. And I didn't do anything. I wasn't mouthy or anything. I was afraid, but it was just for the fact that I was this new cute blonde girl in the school, and they didn't like it.
That is like, your mom is commendable for doing that. Like coming every recess. Of course, she was a homemaker. She didn't have to go anywhere other than probably hustling at home and cleaning and doing all that. But that, you have a mother hustler on your side, and that is like, I can't imagine. I will go possessed if my kids get beat up in school.
It was a horrible time. Yeah.
Wow. What advice can you give kids that are in around that
bullying?
Yeah, and around that age, because that's a tough, eighth grade is a tough age.
It's tough, but you know what? And I did have kids really late. So I do have, you know, college age kids now, but I had no idea the bullying that goes on right now. It is ridiculous at that age.
Yep.
It is I don't know what advice I would give. You know, it's all about the foundation at home and the ethics and everything you instill in your kids so that they can handle something like that, I'm guessing. I don't even know how to do it.
It's tough because we're not just mother hustling at home. We're hustling at work. We have both career, and you can't just drop everything and go be with your child. So you really have to train them how to, I think,
respond.
Respond and handle the situation.
I think open communication is the biggest training, because now we're getting into this, you know, kid suicide business, and that's horrible too. So communication is key.
Yeah, I agree. Talk about your mom, because I already like her.
Well, you know, it's hard for me. My mom died last year. So it's tough, because my mom was, my dad was our rock, and my mom was our emotional support 100% through everything. So my mom had dementia, and so we really lost her 3 years before she died last year. So that was extremely painful going through that, because my mom was here, but not here.
Wow.
So that was super tough, but my mom and my personality was nothing alike. She was your very typical wife from the old days, you know, that the husband was the boss, and she just took care of the kids and the home, and very laid back. She had an amazing laugh. She was the most incredible, and she had a rough upbringing in childhood. So she was the most amazing woman that I know.
Wow. What values did you carry on with you that you picked up from your mother?
God, she would, you know, even though she went through a horrible upbringing, she was just always so positive and just so giving to anybody. And that's probably where I got the enjoying giving from. And she was just so helpful and there and present anytime any of us kids needed it, anytime.
Wow. Wow. I always tell my mother, because there's about six of us, and I always say, Mom, I don't know how you did it, but if I could be half the mom that you were, I'll be okay. You know, I'll be good, because man, they did a lot back in the days. And like you said, I almost call it like a enslaving to the husband. It's not that severe, but it's almost like that, you know, the way that I'm seeing growing up. And I talk about it at the brunch, but I saw it as more of like, I don't want to be like my mom. It's a sad learning that I got from that, but on the positive side, but I want to be as great of a mother like my mom.
I totally get that.
Yeah. there's a couple sides of the coin that's like, oh, when I was a teenager, I used to always tell my mom, I'm never going to be like you. You let dad.
Oh, I did that too. I was horrible. Yeah. I wish I could be just like her. I mean, I'm pretty forward and type A, and she was not. She was very type B and laid back, but just to have those giving attributes just is amazing.
Serving, always everybody else first. So how did you get to Vancouver, Washington from all those moving?
I know. My dad got transferred here in the ninth grade. So
again.
Again. And that was the last one. So thank goodness, because it was awesome. So yeah, I spent my high school years in Oregon City. So it was good. And we ended up in Vancouver because my dad had an early retirement package. And so the no tax state. So that's how we ended up here. And I've been here for many, many years.
So you've been in real estate for 15 years.
Right. In a couple of weeks, it'll be 15 years. Yeah.
Before that. So that's 15 years. That's 2013 was when you started. No.
2004.
Four when you started.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do before that?
I did a few things, and I didn't really like any of them, to be honest. So I was a really good typist, actually typewriter. I know, funny. I keep aging myself, huh?
I type really good because of it.
Well, I played the piano, and so I was a really fast typer in high school. And I started working part-time in office work as secretaries in high school. I go to school part-time and work part-time as a secretary, like in a law firm even. I had always had secretarial type jobs, and I never liked them. Just normal, and probably because I am not one that could be put in a box, as we figured out, with a normal job. So I did that, and then I thought I wanted to be a nurse, and I hated college so bad. I dropped out, so no nurse. And then I ended up at the end as working in human resources for a legacy health system in Portland. And I kind of liked that, but it was still an office job. And then I moved to benefit specialist. And that office job thing just did not fit me. I wish I would have found this career a lot earlier.
I've been there. So how did you get introduced to becoming a realtor and going into real estate?
So my story is my husband at the time and I, he got transferred to Kaiser, Oregon. And so I had bought my own house before we were married. By the way, I was on Wheel of Fortune and won the money to buy my first house. I know it's
I know this, but it's like almost like always a what?
Hilarious.
But then, I haven't talked to anybody that's been on Wheel of Fortunes, but I actually want to go on Wheel of Fortune and win some money.
I know. So yes, it was a long time ago. So I had my first house, and so we needed to sell our house. Well, as a lot of people think, I'm not going to pay commission, and so I'm going to do for sale by owner. I get it. Commission is a lot of money. So posted it for sale by owner, and I got a knock on the door from these two guys, and they were real estate agents, and they just said, "Hey, we're not here to sell you anything. We want to offer you a benefit. We want to market your house totally free to you. You're for sale by owner, not going to charge you a thing. But in the event that you decide to list your house, we would like a shot with an interview." Brilliant marketing. So I'm like, sure. I had a very strong relationship with these two real estate brokers because the house sold six times and fell through five
Only need
because
one, sis.
we had defects. We had bad LP siding. And so I got to know them really well. So we finally ended that. And at the end of all of that, and yes, I did hire them and list with them because that's how it should be, honestly. And they said, "We see something in you, and we would love for you to be our partner in real estate." And that's how it started.
Isn't that amazing how life takes you from one point to another and then another? And sometimes that prior to the next step is such a bad time in your life, but it's necessary to get you to that next step. But it's like connecting the dots, and I'm like listening to your story. It's totally connecting the dots to lead you here.
It was. And, it was a little bit, it was an exciting time, a scary time. And it was also a painful time because my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And he died 3 months after the diagnosis. So he did get to see me sell my first house, which I'm very grateful for and thankful. But that was a really tough time because my dad was my everything. So, yes, I started my career that way.
So that was 20 or 2004.
2004. Mm-hmm.
2000, it seemed like a long time ago, but yesterday, if that makes
Right.
any sense.
Yep.
Because 15 years is a long time, but 2004, I could still so freshly remember what happened that
Yeah, it was a crazy year, but oh man, I loved real estate.
So 2004, 2006 was actually, or 5, 6. I bought my home in California, my first home with my dad, because, gosh, you can't afford California without a, another income. And my culture, you're not independent until you get married. So we all live, no matter how old you get, if you're not married, your parents aren't letting you go. And unfortunately, some
people that wants to get out of the house. They get married in the raw for the wrong reasons so they can get out of the house.
Sure.
And then divorce in like 9 months. But so 2004, I bought that first home. Then 2005, I moved here actually. So my mom and dad still live there. And then 2006, when the market was super hot in California. You like led into that hot market. How was that?
It was amazing. I'm going to tell you, I was named Rookie of the Year my first year.
Wow.
And I killed it. And yeah, thank goodness it was a hot market, but still, I was a new agent. I killed it and I loved it. And you can't describe it because when you're, you know, my last job before becoming a real estate agent, I was making $13.50 an hour. I was working in the ER at Peace Health because I needed some excitement. So I did. Being a stay-at-home mom was not my niche. I tried it for a few years and it just wasn't going to happen.
Nope.
And then to go from making $13.50 an hour to what I did that first year, what a blessing. What a blessing. And I'm so grateful.
Wow.
So grateful. But yeah, loved it.
And loving what you're doing. Like
yes.
There's something to be said about loving and enjoying every moment, every challenge, even the challenges. Like it's just super victorious when you overcome it, when you are in that field, right? Especially when you're helping clients and people.
Well, it's not all a bed of roses. I mean, I don't want to give you that impression.
Yeah.
It's very up and down, as with any mother hustler entrepreneur. And you get burnout and, you know, things aren't, like I said, it's not all glory days at all.
Mm-mm.
There's some rough stuff that we go through.
Tell me about 2008. You and I talked about it before. And I know the whole story, but I think a lot of people could totally relate. And I related with you because I was impacted by 2008. It was, everybody was impacted.
Oh, when the market crashed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which story are we talking about? The one where I got divorced? That was 2011.
Okay. Well, how did you do in the 2008 crash?
You know what? I did really good. That was one of my best years. And I'm going to tell you why is because there's so many people that needed help and were losing their homes. I mean, it was the land of the short sale and the foreclosure and the bankruptcy. And so I just enjoyed helping these people, even though it was super sad. So being quite the empath, it highly affected me emotionally. Because I was seeing all these people's pain from losing their house. But I really liked that because I was helping get them through that.
Wow. So did you have to navigate the short sale world and the foreclosure world
mm-hmm.
and how to learn all that for your clients?
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
How did that impact you as a professional when during the hot times you were selling houses to, you know, you look at a family of four and they're very happy and during the honeymoon stage of them owning a home. And especially the first time home buyers that's never owned a home ever before. And then in 08, 09,
it
extended till 10, 11. I mean, it's still, to this day, it's still happening to some people, but not as severe as it was during those first couple of years from the crash. How has that messed you up? Like, because I know that probably messed you up seeing all that and draining emotionally.
It was. However, what outweighed that was you kind of put your emotions aside and put on the business hat because you had to get this done for the family. You had to save them from foreclosure. So you had to do everything you could to get a short sale, which is less repercussions to them, as you know or don't know. And That's what happened. Yes, it was super emotional because I'm an emotional person, but that business hat and saving the family definitely overtook it.
Yeah. And I think, I bet you that a lot of those people that you've helped are now repeat and forever customers.
Some of them are, you know, I mean, it takes a while to recover from that. And you and I both know I'm going through one right now. That's quite interesting. And so my only goal is to save the family. But yeah, it takes a while to recover from something like that, as I know personally as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And you never know, though, who they know and what other family members that they can.
Right. It's a tough time for them. You know, it's a time that they don't really want to remember.
Yeah. They want to block it off or get over it. I mean, blocking it off is you have to get over it first.
Right.
But getting over it is the hard part. Right. So you have such a big heart, and I really love that about you and how you show up with your clients, because you're putting yourself out there and you're collaborating with them instead of trying to sell them on commission. Because we also both know that a lot of real estate agents try to discount their commission so they can get the deal, but there's no heart, like they don't wear their heart on their sleeve. And they're just in it for the agenda that they have. I mean, we all have an agenda, right? But some of us with an agenda, like we put our heart forward before any agenda. And if that's all there is, and there's the agenda is left on the table and we'll never get to the agenda, we'll do it anyways, right?
Exactly.
So I love that philosophy that you carry in your profession, because I think that those are the kind of professional that last, whether it's downtime or uptime, downturn or upturn. Don't you agree?
I completely agree. You know, and I'm not here to diss anybody's business model. You know, everybody has to do their own thing. I personally have to have the integrity to lay my head on the pillow at night.
Yeah.
And so that's how I live. And okay, let's not joke around. Everybody needs money, right? Okay, I need a lot of it. I have a lot of bills. My business is extremely expensive. But also, if it's about the money, Corrine, and you know this, you ain't gonna get there. There's gonna be a few that slip through, obviously. But if it's about the money, you're never gonna be successful.
It's never enough.
It's gotta be about service. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's gotta be about the value that you give people. And then I always say that money is the applause that I get at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the details. It's the scorecard, right? It's part of our scorecard, just like you would a athlete. You know, they have a scorecard for playing the game really well, but your sport is real estate and helping people. Real estate is your product.
Right.
And helping people like you and me, we have the same mission, is to help people, but we have different products. It's called a vehicle to be able to deliver that help.
Exactly.
We choose different vehicles to deliver that help, just like we would on cars. Although we do drive the same cars.
We do.
So Susie, here is the big question.
What?
Tell us about your adversity, about your, you know, you raising three children.
Two
children. And you talk about how expensive your business is. Combine that with college education, you know, your lifestyle. I mean, there's the business side and there's our personal side. But take us through the challenge that you have shared with me. You don't have to be too detailed about it. And want you to share it to the listeners and the audience to really relate to, because some of them might be going through it currently as we speak.
So everybody goes through adversity, and it's interesting because when you're on the other side of it, and we have all heard the same adage is, you know, to get to the other side, you know, you have to go through the dark to get to the light, and we grow from that pain. But when you're in the pain, it sure as hell doesn't feel like it. Mm-hmm. It's not fun at all. And so, you know, I mean, my kids are probably going to listen to this. So I had kids at a late age. My kids are 19 and 22. And One is in college and one is done, and he's at home now. When I decided that I did not want to be married to their dad anymore, their dad was a stay-at-home dad. And so because I was so stealth in my career choice, I didn't want my kids in daycare and to not have a parent at home. So that was the logical answer. And so when I decided I didn't want to be married anymore, I was, he was treated like the wife in the divorce. Let's put it that way. So I did not leave with anything. And I lost everything. And because he chose to fight me, which there was no reason to, but you know, I understand the hurt and the pain. And so I lost everything I owned. And I lost my two homes. I was forced into bankruptcy because of a bajillion reasons that he decided to participate in. And it was rough. I mean, it was rough because I had worked so hard and I, you know, buying two homes and everything that goes with it and everything like that to have to pay alimony and pay child support and lose everything. So yes, that was a super rough time, but you know what? I really honestly, even though that process took a year, I was okay with the money because I knew I would make it back.
Yeah. You are the money maker, not the money that you lost.
Right.
You're the one that generates the income. That's awesome.
It's tough, you know, and, you know, it's tough because, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you never know when your next paycheck's going to come. Mm-hmm. And having to support two kids and college and insurance and cell phones and clothes, everything that comes with it, I would probably say there's some resentment that I'm continually working on.
It's awesome. You're a strong woman, Susie, and I think there's a lot that we can learn from you. What advice can you give to those moms and women that are going through that situation or similar to that situation?
I had amazing people to support me. You know, it takes a village. And so my friends, who most of my friends are in real estate, they honestly experienced the same thing I did. It's kind of interesting how strong entrepreneur women are with men that this happens to, because I can probably name six or seven in this town that the exact same thing happened to. So you just have to know that karma's a bitch.
And, agree.
And you're going to be fine. I mean, everybody's going to be fine. You just need your network of people and close friends to get you through it. I had it, and it worked out great.
I heard this from my interview on Monday. She said, you just have to have a world-class support system. And I love that. And I use that a lot now, stealing it.
And I have one.
Exactly.
I have one.
You know, it's the same way with a job. You know, it doesn't have to be marriage. It could be anything you're in transition with. And it's tough because every transition has a mourning process. And during that mourning process, it's tough to think big. You only like in this narrow-minded mindset because it contracts everything. When you're stressed out, it contracts everything. It's hard to have an open mind, right?
100%.
When I was miserable in my job, I really did not even know that a lot of these support were available. And you know, when you're a type A, like yourself and myself, you think you can do it all and you can handle it all, but you really can't. And it's hard for a type A to admit to that. You need a lot of growing as a type A personality to really get to that point where, you know what, I'm going to delegate this, or I know I can't do this, so I'm going to have a tribe of people that will help me. Like, it's tough for a type A to really admit to that and be self-aware about that, because we think we're this badass people.
You mean AKA control freak?
Yes, we are. And we feel like if we let go, it's going to fall apart too. You know, it's that worry. We worry about that. We think that if we do it, it's going to be done properly.
Totally. I keep telling everybody I'm a recovering control freak. I feel like I'm better than I used to be. Although, you know, my honey Lyle would probably laugh if he was listening to this. God, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It is hard not to be a control freak. Because for just the reason you said.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. Sometimes I forget I'm married to my husband and then I make a decision swiftly. And then I change, like I'm getting really better at backing off and say, okay, hold on a second. I have to talk to my husband about this.
No.
I'm so sorry. Like it's a practice for me.
I know. There's something in our type A brain that just thinks nobody can do it as good as we can.
Yeah.
And then we get overwhelmed and then we get depleted and then we're super messed up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super true. It's awesome. So you talk about your kids. What are their names?
Grant and Blake.
Love the names.
Yeah, I love my kids.
You should.
They drive me nuts, but I love my kids.
Well, that's part of the love.
Yeah.
What you said they'll probably listen to this one way or another. What would be that message you want to tell them right now?
Okay, this is funny because you're talking about freaking bring Kleenex to this. I don't cry ever. Ever. Like it would be so rare that I cry. And I'm an emotional person, but I just don't cry that often. I could cry over my kids.
Let's start with Grant. What message would you send to Grant or tell Grant?
You know you want the best for your kids. Yeah, you really do. And, you know, a lot of times you have a lot of regrets as a parent that you didn't do things right. I mean, you want the world for your kids. Mm-hmm. You know, your kids are the only unconditional love you will ever have. Mm-hmm. And I believe that. And, you know, it's tough. Kids now, like their age, it's a totally different world than it was for us. And so if you see your kids struggling or, you know, on a path that you wish they weren't on, or you want them to be better or do better because you want everything for them, you know? And so, you know, I have a little bit of regret about losing the family unit that I gypped my kids. So I have some regret for that. And that's the only guilt I have is my kids. They get it. They understand it. But I'm telling you, you see your kids go through stuff and it just about kills you.
Yeah, it's true.
And I haven't had any major stuff, but it just kills you.
So what is your message for Grant?
Grant is like me.
What would you tell him?
He has my DNA big time. So I could have a lot of advice. You know, I would tell Grant that he is one amazing kid. I mean, he's 22 years old and he's big, but he has a heart of gold. And Grant, the world is his oyster once he figures out what he wants to do. You know, he is a great person. He has a great laugh.
Like you. Just like you said.
Yep. And then Blake, I think, is more like his dad. And he's so dang cute. God, my kids are good looking. I'm just going to say it.
Well, they you're are. Good looking.
Oh, well, thank you. But my kids are super handsome. They really are. Blake,
yeah.
So funny. Blake's going to be my entrepreneur. So Grant will have a normal job.
Uh-huh.
A traditional job, and Blake will be the entrepreneur. He is trying to figure, I mean, he's 19. Okay. He doesn't know what he's going to do, but he's at college and he keeps trying to think of things he can do. I mean, he wants to make the big bucks. And I keep saying the only way you're going to do it is to own your own business. We just need to figure it out.
Right. What would he want to do? Does he know yet?
No. At 19, please. Probably when the next party is at school.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
If your mom could hear you right now, what would you tell your mom?
Oh, Mom, I wish you were here. Because I feel like things would be so much better and easier for me trying to navigate life with kids and relationships. She was always the calmer. So I just would probably be asking a million questions. And she would still be taking care of me.
Even at your age now, she would still be there.
Totally.
We're always like mommy's little girls, right?
Totally. I mean, their house was known as the nap house. You could go to their house, even though we didn't live there, and take the best naps because it was so comforting there.
Wow. Even the energy, like energetically?
That exactly is what I mean.
Wow.
Just so calm and relaxed. It's just home, you know, and she would still take care of us, make us lunch, bring us a TV tray, or if we were sick. And
wow. Such a classic mom. My mother did the same thing. It's just the energy. You can feel it when a home is not a home, but it's a pretend home. You can feel that when you walk in someone's, I mean, you walk in a lot of homes with you being empathic. You probably,
I super feel the energy. And, you know, I always tell my clients, and it's not a Slim Shady line either. I truly, if I would not buy the house for myself, I'm not going to let you buy it.
Yeah.
100% agree with that statement. It's got to, and I usually can walk in and feel it.
Yeah, me too. Same way. Ty has a cousin that's going through a rough time with his marriage, and he would just show up here and he'd sleep on the couch. And he was like, wow, your home feels so good for some reason. And especially coming from like a toxic, you know, going through really rough times in his marriage, especially from that to our home that's just energetically, and we have this big rock salt, like the Himalayan rock, like we have the big, big one.
You do? That's awesome.
Yes. And it always balances. I believe in it. It balances everything.
Maybe I need to get one.
Yeah. I got mine at Home Goods. So
yeah,
but I got them when they weren't popular. I just like saw them and I was attracted to how the light is so dim. Like it's so calm because there's a light underneath it.
Right.
But now they're spendy, even the little ones, because they're so in demand. People love them. People want them. So I got lucky. So before I ask my last question, I just want to have you tell us where to find you. Where can we find Susie? And for those of you listening, if you've never been to the Portland Metro in Vancouver, Washington area, come and visit us, because Susie will make you move here and will be your beautiful realtor that has a big heart.
Just have to be a realtor. I would love to be a friend.
Yeah. And then show you around. And then you, in your team, you have an Oregon license too on the other side of the river. So she can cover both.
Honey does. Yep.
Yeah. Where can we find you, Susie? And which social media outlet do you usually hang around?
Facebook, you know, I have the Susie Morrison team business page, and then obviously my personal page for personal stuff, Susie Lee Morrison. And then my handle on Instagram is Realtor Queen Susie, because I love crowns. I love the queen.
You claim your throne long time ago. So what's your website?
TheSusieMorrisonTeam.com.
People, if you go to her Facebook page, she does this amazing snapshot of the market, and she's like an anchor woman out in the field for a TV personality. So keep an eye on her videos. She does a really amazing job talking about the local real estate in Clark County, which is in Washington State. So
not Canada,
not Vancouver, Canada. Vancouver, Washington, USA.
Right.
Well, Susie, before I ask my very last question, I just want to thank you for showing up like yourself. And thank you for your friendship and raw friendship and allowing me to be myself when I'm with you. It's such an amazing friendship. You know, I am getting to the age where I just don't have the time to really waste, you know, and just getting things done and go right to the point. So I love that you receive that kind of personality. I love that your personality is like that. So I appreciate you as a mother as well. You are a mother hustler. So here's your mother hustler crown.
Thank you. I wish I should have worn one.
And seriously, you are an amazing woman. And through it all, you're still here smiling away beautifully, you know, dancing with life, because I think that's all we can do. We just dance with life with our crown and let the whirlwind just takes you wherever it needs to. So thank you for being you.
Thank you so much.
Here's the last question. What is your definition of mother hustler? When you heard that word, what comes to mind?
Me.
Exactly.
That's why I resonate with it so much. Here's the thing. A friend of mine in one of my masterminds that I go to with my coach, we were talking about this after, and we were talking about, these powerful men real estate people in the room. And we also said, you know, these men, more than likely, like probably 99%, this is going to be a true statement. These men either have a wife at home or they're divorced and they have their kids part-time. Mm-hmm. And I am not dissing that at all. Believe me, I'm not. But they do not have the responsibilities that we have as mother hustlers.
Yep.
Not only do we need to run our business, which
make
we all
money.
Know. Yeah, which is crazy town, owning your own business just by itself.
Yep.
We need to also do everything else. We have to do the laundry. We have to go grocery shopping. We have to make the appointments for our kids. We have to deal with the insurance. We have to do everything.
Figure out dinner.
Everything. You know,
work
and
out.
Yeah. Women and mothers and mother hustlers, we have to do everything. No wonder we're freaking overwhelmed.
Yep.
And so I think mother hustler is, it encompasses the embodiment of the woman that does everything.
Yeah. It's so true. And thank you for that definition, because sometimes I tell my husband that I need a wife, because that's,
I say it all the time.
That's what they do. They do the things that we have to do, because obviously we signed up for it. We know what we signed up for. We know exactly.
Yeah, I'm good with it. Good with it.
Yeah. So thank you for that. You're amazing.
Thank you. You are too.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you, Kareen.
All right, sisters, thank you so much for listening and always supporting the Being Mother Hustler podcast every single episode, every single week. I know most of you take screenshots of these episodes and share it all over your social media outlet. And for some of you that's left us a 5-star review, from the bottom of my heart, I'm so super grateful for you. Make sure you follow us on Spotify and subscribe to the show on iTunes. And it would mean the world to the entire Mother Hustler Nation community if you wrote us a 5-star review. Because I'm telling you, this is not about me. This is not about you. It's about all of us in the community inspiring each other, learning from each other, and not allowing each other to make any excuses to chase our dreams. I swear I read those reviews and it fuels me to my core, makes me cry for great reasons. So I so look forward to reading those reviews. As always, sisters, don't forget to give, serve, live, and love. Have a mother hustling day.